We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
John Rothstein joining us right now, the guru of college basketball. Nobody knows college basketball better than Rothstein. Now, you had a little time off after the NCAA tournament was over?
A little time off, Joe, but you're never really off, and you know you're never really working when you love what you do. You know that better than anybody.
Yeah, well, I understand that. Yeah,
John,
I try not to work. So
let's start off with the most obvious, right? DeAndre Ayton, no doubt, not even a question. You're an idiot if you don't take him number one overall. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think it's an absolute fair statement, Evan. And I think that there isn't maybe a substantial drop-off after the first pick in the draft, but there's definitely a drop-off. You know, DeAndre Ayton is the one player in this draft that stands out above the rest. And, you know, guys, one of the things I think that's really important to reference when you look at the type of freshman year that DeAndre Ayton had at Arizona was he gets 20, 12, and two-block shots as a college freshman. And Arizona played Ayton, who's 7'1", alongside another 7-footer in Dusan Ristić. You guys know this. When you play 2 7-footers together, especially in today's day and age where the stretch power forward has taken over so much of basketball at all levels, you don't have as great a spacing. It makes it, to me, more impressive that Ayton got the production level and right. The numbers that he did.
And that'll be certainly something that will never happen for him in the NBA. He'll never be on the floor with that.
Not in this NBA, that's for sure.
No question.
In your mind, though, because it is what I find fascinating, and I think a lot of it's posture. I understand that. Teams floating out different scenarios, but who goes number two? And you could leave Luka Doncic out of this whole discussion right now, because I know you're not watching him the way you watch Marvin Bagley and Jaren Jackson, guys like that.
Right.
But there's a lot of movement about, okay, it's Bagley at two. No, it's going to be Jackson. We've heard Porter. In your mind, and you mentioned there's a drop-off, which I understand, who should Sacramento take at number two?
You know, it's fascinating when you look and you compare and you contrast Marvin Bagley III versus Jaren Jackson Jr. Marvin Bagley III is an all-time producer, 21-11 as a college freshman, 61 from the field and 40% from three. Now, here is what people that I've talked to in the NBA are really starting to look at. The big difference when you look at these two players is rim protection. Marvin Bagley III last year at Duke played 1,118 minutes and blocked 21 shots. Jaren Jackson Jr. at Michigan State played 764 minutes and blocked 106 shots. Both shot about 40% from three, and I think both in today's NBA could even be a modern-day five-man because they can both stretch the floor from the five position. The big difference, though, Jackson, a much better rim protector than Bagley, but here's something else that I want to point out that the college basketball fan may know, but the NBA fan may not be familiar with. Miles Bridges opted to come back to Michigan State last year because Tom Izzo made a commitment to let him play small forward because that seemed to be the position that he was going to be best suited for in the NBA. It turned out midway through last season, Michigan State staff felt that Bridges was better, especially in end-of-game scenarios at the power forward position. But if Bridges went to the four, then all of a sudden, either Jaren Jackson Jr. or Nick Ward, their 6'9", 260-pound five-man, were off the court. So there wasn't as much rhythm and chemistry with Michigan State that allowed Jackson to get the minutes maybe of some of these other guys in the lottery.
All right, give me your feel on who you think the Knicks are going to take at nine. Who's going to be there at nine for them?
I think when you look right now at when people could start falling, it all starts with the Orlando Magic at number six. The thought was from NBA people that the Magic had to take a point guard. Obviously, that would be Trae Young from Oklahoma or Colin Sexton. Wendell Carter or Michael Porter Jr.'s name has been mentioned there as well. But whoever isn't taken at six, especially if it's a point guard, is going to potentially drop to the Knicks. I think there's a good chance the Knicks are going to have a chance to take a point guard, either Young or Sexton if they're on the board, or Kentucky's Kevin Knox or Villanova's Mikal Bridges.
Is it worth trading up if you're the Knicks, because it's out there that Memphis wants to shed a very bad contract that Chandler Parsons has, and they would shed it to move back a few slots in this draft. So there's an opportunity for the Knicks to jump from 9 to 4. And it seems like the guy they're falling in love with is Mo Bamba, the center out of Texas.
Well, I would be very apprehensive and very tepid if I was a Knicks fan and the Knicks wound up taking Mo Bamba.
Why?
And here's why. There are major questions from people who coached against Mo Bamba and who played against Mo Bamba about his motor, about his competitiveness. Now, he is an unbelievable kid. And from, you know, speaking to him and talking to him, he's exceptionally well-spoken. He's exceptionally well-versed on all aspects of the world. But in today's NBA, you need to be somebody who can obviously face up and make shots with regularity. And Mo Bamba, and I can tell you this from being in a Texas practice last year, is a better three-point shooter than people give him credit for. But this is what concerns me. His team finished 8-10 in the Big 12. And another thing that concerns me, when Mo Bamba was being recruited, he was being recruited by schools like Kentucky. And Kentucky wanted him as a major piece in the middle defensively, like they had with Willie Cauley-Stein a couple of years ago. He opted to go to Texas, a school that wasn't going to the NCAA tournament, maybe not a fan of being, obviously, in the fishbowl of Kentucky and the day-to-day focus that comes on those players in Kentucky. I think if there's one guy right now that I would be tepid of in the top five, when you look at Ayton, Bagley, Doncic, Jackson, and then one other person, it would be Mo Bamba.
Is he, as a rim protector, where do you rank him amongst the kids available?
Freak athlete, freak rim protector. And Evan, look, and guys, I never want to cross the streams. I'm not an NBA guy, but from talking to people and from watching after the college season, it just seems like the Dikembe Mutombo type big man is kind of an endangered species. And if you don't have the ability to be in a situation where you can face up with regularity and make shots, you're going to have a hard time staying on the floor. Now, I look at this. Obviously, with Bamba, are you getting a 7'10 wingspan? Absolutely. Are you getting somebody who's an elite rim protector? Absolutely. But again, he had 111 blocks last year. Jaren Jackson Jr. gets 106 and plays almost 200 less minutes. If you're asking me, you know, if you're going to trade up and go after Jaren Jackson, the long-term potential, I think, is much higher because you know he is established already on the offensive end of the floor, shot 40 from three.
Kevin Knox, very interesting guy to me. Calipari obviously loves him. Kentucky guy. Well, what? How about him? Because he might, you know, there's a good chance he might be there. So for the Knicks. So what about him?
Gifts from God physically, Joe. But again, similar to Mo Bamba, you know, a lot of people question the motor at times, did not have a great shooting season last year, but definitely somebody who has the build at 6'9 to potentially in today's NBA be a better four than he was a three at times in college. You know, I talked to Fred Hoiberg, you know, the coach of the Bulls, about this recently the last couple of weeks. The new position in the NBA is the combo forward, because the days of playing with a power guy at the four have dissipated in a sense because everybody puts such a focus on shooting. This to me is somebody who you look at who kind of has, there's a little Tobias Harris, there's a little Robert Horry. He's that type of player at the power forward position.
Where do you, we're talking to John Rothstein. Obviously, tonight's the NBA draft. The Knicks are scheduled to pick 9th. The Nets, forget about it. They're picking like they're a championship team. They're picking 29th, yet they're not a championship team. Where do you fall on Trae Young? What type of NBA player is he going to be in your mind?
Evan, Joe, he is elite offensively. He is pedestrian defensively. And you want to take somebody right now who you look at who at one end of the floor does things that we've never seen in college basketball before. 9 games last season with 5 or more three-point shots. But, you know, you are who you can guard in the NBA. And if Trae Young is going to be a lead guard in the NBA, he's going to have to guard Lillard, Westbrook, Paul. That is a tall task for somebody who is a below-average defender. But here's something I want to say. There was a lot of talk last year that Trae Young was to be blamed for Oklahoma's struggles in February. If you want to be a lead guard that's efficient, you guys know this, you need a dominant four-man in pick-and-pop scenarios. Brady Manek, the starting power forward for Oklahoma, made 59 threes last season. 48 were before February 1st. So it wasn't necessarily Trae Young that shut down the latter part of last season. It was also Oklahoma's supporting cast. You can't obviously be an effective point guard, especially a distributing point guard, without a great supporting cast.
Talking to John Rothstein, getting ready for the NBA draft tonight in Brooklyn. All right, speaking of Brooklyn, the Nets are at 29. I mean, unless they make a trade up, we'll see. I'm looking at one of the projected draft deals right here, right now, and they have Brooklyn at 29 taking this kid, Chandler Hutchinson from Boise State. What do you know about him?
You know, I was with his college coach last night, Leon Rice, and you're getting somebody again who is a hybrid at 6'7" that can play and defend multiple positions. There's a number of guys right now who are in the NBA draft that kind of fit this bill. Chandler Hutchinson is one. Jacob Evans from Cincinnati, another. I think, Joe, a guy that's going to be able to come in and be in a situation where he can defend multiple positions outside of the gate. He obviously was off the radar a little bit nationally because he played in the Mountain West Conference. His teams didn't play in the NCAA tournament, but a very good athlete, a college player that just kept getting better, averaged 20 a game last season.
Mikal Bridges, because it seems like the Knicks have been attached to him more than anybody else. What type of NBA player will he be?
The most known commodity in the latter part of the lottery, I think. You know, when you look at Mikal Bridges, he's somebody who isn't going to be afraid of putting in the daily work that's required to be an NBA player, because 4 years ago, Mikal Bridges wasn't ranked in the top 50 players coming out of high school. He redshirted as a college freshman. As a redshirt sophomore, he only made 44 three-point shots at Villanova. Last year as a redshirt junior, 104 made shots for Villanova. I see a little Richard Jefferson, a little Trevor Ariza.
That's interesting. Not bad. Not too bad.
Not bad. Real quick before we let you go, you surprised, because you're good with some of these predictions on what these guys are going to be at the next level. The talk of last year's NBA draft is Donovan Mitchell, who's also a likable guy. He's a Met fan. He was at Citi Field, actually, last week.
Lucky him.
Yeah, lucky him. His father works in the organization. You at all surprised he's become a star?
This is what I'm going to say, and I think it's something that, you know, we all need to pay more attention to. And I thought Donovan Mitchell had big-time potential coming out of Louisville. I would be lying if I told you I saw this. This is what I think we're seeing. There are players in college basketball over the last 5 years who have been too small to be projected as NBA twos, but they played the twos in college and didn't handle the ball a lot. And because there's less pressing in the NBA, these guys can make the transition easier from going to being a combo in college to a two, as a two, than to the one at the NBA level. And you're seeing these guys take massive strides at the NBA level. Donovan Mitchell is one. Victor Oladipo is another. Remember, Victor Oladipo, when he was at Indiana in 2013, played with Yogi Ferrell and Jordan Hulls. He was off the ball. Another prime example is Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, again, was off the ball for UCLA because Darren Collison was the guy that everybody looked to as that team's point guard. And another thing, you know, before that, UCLA was a program that, again, had Jordan Farmar. Russell Westbrook didn't even play as a college freshman. But, guys, I think when you get into the NBA right now and there's less pressing, the guys that were too small to be twos that are like 6'3", 6'4", have such a new amount of ability and burst. When they go over to the one position, there's less pressing. They're not going to have to deal with the press as much. They flourish at the next level.
John? Yeah, you got something else you want to talk to me?
No, I wanted to thank him because I like hearing his take on a lot of these guys. I'm going to pick your brain tomorrow because I'm curious.
You're coming on again tomorrow, John?
Anything you guys need. But I will tell you guys this, just one thing I got a call about, about a half an hour ago. One guy that's rising who I've felt has the potential to be the steal in the draft is Boston College's Jerome Robinson. Could now get picked in the latter part of the lottery. The Clippers have major interest at 12 and 13. Jim Boeheim told me last week he felt this was the best player in the ACC last season. Over 80 made threes, over 40% from three. Think Jordan Clarkson with more offense.
Interesting. Thank you, John. We appreciate it.
See you, John.
Thanks, guys.
John Rothstein.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.